You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. Well, it's been a long road, folks. It's been a long, long road. I haven't always been so focused on the Bears. That really didn't start until this whole thing with Justin Fields. It was a little bit with Trubisky, but they weren't as excited about Trubisky. Some people talk some trash or whatever, but when it was time to go, they were ready to move on. There has been a level of delusion that really only seems to exist sort of in the political realm, I think, where you just look at people and go, what are you talking about? Maybe some other stuff too, conspiracy theory type stuff. I don't know, but this is a very large cult that it appears made it really difficult to be a Bears content creator, because as I'm combing through, most of them were on the, I think it's kind of time to move on train, or at least that's what's going to happen train. And the entire comment section is just filled with, he's not going anywhere, you're an idiot, you're going to see, like, why are you even talking about this, you don't believe in Justin, like, just madness. And me being me, I just can't let that stuff go. I can't, when you're so unbelievably wrong, and it also happens to be that you are a rival football team, and it also happens to be that you're a trash football team, it's the perfect ecosystem. It's the perfect environment for me to flourish and just do my thing. And the amount of pushback I got just kind of made me go insane. It's like you say something stupid and then I'm like, ha, gotcha. And they're like, nope. Like, wait, what? I have never seen so much faith in something despite the evidence. Justin Fields was almost like a religion. I mean, you say things like this guy's like a messiah to Bears fans, just kind of casually, but in a way, kind of felt like a cult. It's a good thing Justin Fields didn't have it in him to be like, hey, we should all drink these Kool-Aid packet things, like no big deal. Just come to my house, we'll drink some cups of Kool-Aid, because they would have done it. But at the end of the day, There is a value, right? We're all just talking about opinion. We're talking about, watch the tape. I'm so sick of people telling me that. It's not that there's no value in the tape. It's just that nobody knows what the value is. We've had people that apparently are really good at watching the tape. We've had professional football players, quote unquote, watch the tape and come to the conclusion that Justin Fields is pretty good. Not all of them. A lot of them are like, this dude's kind of trash. But the point is, he has a value, and we're bickering over what that value is. And then the best possible thing happens, because you know what happens? When you cash out, there is a specific value. When you sell your home, you can talk a big game all you want, but the market's going to speak, and you're going to sell that thing for what it's worth, or at least what it's worth to somebody. There are 32 teams in the NFL, and yes, the Chicago Bears are included in this. What is he worth to you? What is he worth to somebody else? This is when we find out his actual market value. This is what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for the Bears to cash out on Justin Fields to find out what his market value actually is. Because this is definitive. This isn't some arbitrary nonsense that's floating around out there. This isn't some fake wannabe Twitter guy talking about watch the tape, some fake GM, some fake scout. These are 32 multi-million dollar businesses who are doing everything in their power to be the greatest possible football team that they can. It just takes one to believe in this guy for them to give up a lot of capital to bring him in. It just takes one. And here's the thing. It's not just one guy that believes that he's been good, because that's not really the question. The question isn't how good has he been. I already won that battle, but it goes further than that. It's a question of what can he be? So for example, let's get him out of Chicago. Let's get him with some better coaching. Let's see if we can fix his mechanics. Let's build him an offensive line. Let's get him some weapons. Let's take away all those freaking excuses that Bears fans had for years. And then what? Is he MVP Justin Fields? If there's one team that believes that, they're going to pay for him. Guess what? Zero teams believe that. Nobody believes that. Nobody. So you can run your freaking mouth all you want. You can talk and talk and talk and talk. But you've been wrong. You fell into this cult. This weird, warped, twisted cult that believed this nonsense. Justin Fields is worse than Trubisky. That's just a reality. He is an athlete, but as a quarterback, he is worse than Trubisky was. He is terrible. He is Zach Wilson terrible, and he always has been, and he always will be. And you guys defended him to the death, and I don't know why. I don't know what happened. Something in you snapped. There was this picture in your mind of being this elite franchise, that he was going to be the Messiah. He was going to take you to the promised land. He was going to be the one to dominate the NFC North and beat the Packers. He was going to be the one to win the division and go on and bring another Super Bowl title back to Chicago. And you got that vision in your head, and you wanted it so bad you lost your freaking mind. And how many times did Justin Fields beat the Packers? Zero. Zero. This is going to go down as one of the worst quarterbacks Chicago has ever had, and you freaking people can't let him go. With Caleb Williams sitting right there on the docket, some people hailing him as one of the greatest quarterbacks to come out of college football, and you don't want him. You want to trade that pick because you can't let it go. So I would love to hear from a Fields apologist. Explain it to me. He's never had success in Chicago, not with better offensive lines, not with top 10 wide receivers and solid top 10-ish tight ends. Never done it. And not one of 32 teams believes in him, including the Chicago Bears, who would rather have a 2025 sixth-round pick than to have Justin Fields as their quarterback. Explain that to me. Why the Steelers, who just went out and got a quarterback and might still be drafting a quarterback, putting Justin Fields in third and probably ended up getting cut if that's the situation. I need you to understand that if they draft a quarterback, that quarterback's not getting cut. And they've already said that Russell Wilson is going to be ahead of Justin Fields. So he will come into camp and he'll have to fight to even be on the roster. So I want you to explain to me how exactly it is you've convinced yourself, if you're still there, if you're still a believer, if you haven't woken up from this dream state, this fugue state, if you will.
Yeah, I was watching that show, so I got that in my head.
Make it make sense. You would trade for him. Fine. But explain this to me. Do you still believe that you know more than all 32 teams? And seriously, ask yourself this question. What is the basis of your knowledge? Because all that you know is that Justin Fields has been bad. But some people who are also in this little state of delusion have told you. So it's a bunch of people in a state of delusion with a bunch of circular logic. I know because that guy told me. Well, that guy's in a state, but he also knows because that guy told him, and he knows because that guy told him. And it's all just a bunch of Fields apologists who are talking to a bunch of Fields fans, telling them that the problem isn't Fields, it's somebody else. But that's not really a good way to get information, you know what I mean? So outside of people that are in the exact same psychological state of distress that you are in, tell me why you believe what you believe. Because you've seen it? Seen what? Bro, everybody throws good passes once in a while. Everybody, believe it or not. Yes, all the teams, all the quarterbacks, they do cool stuff. And Justin Fields runs fast, I know. He's a bad quarterback. He was the problem. He was the cause of all those sacks. Not all. He was the cause of the excess number of sacks, all those fumbles, all that garbage. The fact that the offense was trash partly had to do with the offensive coordinator. It also had to do with the fact that the quarterback can't do anything. And so we have to simplify it for this guy. Oh, this offensive coordinator sucks. He just throws screens and checkdowns. Bro, that's because your quarterback can't do anything. And you can't deny it anymore. There is no more denying. And do you understand why there is no more denying it? Are you getting it yet? Are you understanding the situation as it is? A 2025 sixth round pick, and the conditional can just, I mean, that's basically nothing. The only way in my mind that that happens, first of all, again, the Steelers do not draft a quarterback. Justin Fields is the backup quarterback, and Russell Wilson gets hurt. And then he comes in, and he plays the rest of the season, and then congratulations, you ended up with a fourth round pick, which is still significantly less than even the rational Bears fans thought. You irrational people, if you even wanted to discuss getting rid of him, which you didn't, thought he was easily worth a first round pick. The rational Bears fans that said it was time to move on thought that they were going to get the Sam Darnold package, not the one from Minnesota, but the one where he went to Carolina. I think it was like a 2 and 2 4th round picks, or a 2, a 4, and a 6 or something like that. 2 4s and a 6. I don't know. Actually, I can find it real fast. I've got several clips of people talking about it, in fact. Here is Phil, guy that we've, from The Tape Never Lies, we've put him on here numerous times. This is not to make fun of any kind of angry rant. This is Phil talking about how he's going to trade Justin Fields if it's up to him, if he's in charge. However, here's what he says the compensation he thinks should be.
And I'll take the Darnold, whatever you got from Sam. What is it, 2, a 4, and a future pick?
Yeah, it's a 2, 4, and a 6.
2, a 4, and a 6. That's what rational Bears fans who said it's time to move on thought that they were going to get. A 2, a 4, and a 6. I didn't even know this was a thing. We've been hearing for a long time it was like a 2 or a 3. And then even that started to go. I mean, granted, this was 2 months ago, but even then, this was back in January. We heard it was likely a 3rd-round pick. But Bears fans, man, you guys got a tight little bubble. Here's somebody from ESPN Chicago, and he's just being very honest, right? The host was saying, you know, this is not what Bears fans thought. And the reporter's like, look, this isn't even what I thought. Again, rational Bears fan, even blindsided by how bad this is.
Well, I think, I don't know. I mean, like, when you say it's not what Bears fans probably thought, it's not what I thought, Pat, when the whole offseason started. I mean, you know, and I guess a lot of us maybe just misread it. I kind of figured they'd work off of the Sam Darnold deal from a few years ago when everybody knew the Jets were going to move on and they were going to draft Zach Wilson number 2 overall. And, you know, maybe that's got something specific to do with the crazy situation that is the Carolina Panthers right now and that owner.
So again, for whatever reason, this kind of got circulated around Bears media that it was going to be likely something like what Sam Darnold got, a 2, a 4, and a 6. They figured somebody's going to bring him on, probably to be a starter, you know, a guy that hasn't proven much but has a lot of potential, and he's going to come in and be the starter, and that's going to cost you a 2, a 4, and a 6. And even the Bears fans were like, look, it hasn't been good. It's time to move on. We need to get Caleb. Are way overestimating how much respect he gets. And you know why? That's because of the media, and not just Bears media. The PR for Justin Fields has been unbelievable. I've said it 1,000 times. I get Packers fans coming at me constantly, even to this day, even after the trade. I'm posting stuff up there, and they're like, it's the Bears, man. The Bears ruined him. The Bears wrecked him. The Bears did. He's just a bad quarterback. He just is. I fully understand not everything was perfect. I get that. I know that the offensive line could have been better. I know that the offensive coordinator could have been better. I know that the wide receivers could have been better. That's true for most, if not all, teams. But again, you can isolate what he's doing, and what he's doing is not good enough. And it never has been. But I'm just saying, the PR for that guy is incredible. So look, everything is kind of falling into place, and I'm sure a lot of the all in on Fields people are just going to really quickly be all in on Caleb Williams, and they'll just pretend that they haven't been insufferably stupid for 3 years straight, just nonstop spewing nonsense. They're not going to own up to it. They're just going to move on. I'm already seeing it. Oh, what are you excited about? Oh, you're scared. It's because of Caleb. You watch out for Caleb. Like, First of all, own up to what you've been saying. You've been anti-Caleb this whole time. You wanted to keep Justin Fields, who's a bust, so you shouldn't trust your own instincts. Don't say anything because you don't know what you're talking about ever. Secondly, how many freaking times do I said this with Justin Fields. You guys drafted Justin, and I said, look, man, he might be a really good quarterback. There's a good chance he's going to be a good quarterback, and I don't like that. But you got to wait. You're setting yourself up for failure. You got to wait. The guy throws a completion in like preseason and everybody loses their mind. It's like, guys, I'm telling you, you got to wait. They didn't. And now they don't want to take their medicine. Well, guess what? Time to open up, big guy. Here comes the airplane. But listen, I'm just going to say the same thing again. I'm going to say the same thing when it comes to Caleb. If you draft the guy, which you might not, first of all, come to terms with that. A lot of people are talking down Caleb. It's probably nonsense. I think it's just going to be Caleb goes number one. I don't know, though. They may not do it. So brace yourself for that. And then if they do draft him, pay attention to what people are saying about him, because it might not go great. The fact that you have hired a defensive head coach is somewhat baffling to me. Congrats on potentially having a defense that looks good. But for crying out loud, who is going to coach this quarterback? There's nothing in the world more important than that. Can you point me to the person who's going to make him a legendary quarterback? Who's doing that? Who is responsible for that? In Green Bay, we have like layers of quarterback guys. We have Matt LaFleur, who is a quarterback guy first and foremost. He played quarterback. He coached quarterbacks his entire career. He was the quarterback's coach for Matt Ryan the 1 year he won MVP. Okay, then we have a very good quarterbacks coach that was handpicked by Aaron Rodgers and said helped him really elevate his game on top of that. Then we go get a very intelligent quarterback from Minnesota to come in and be an understudy to help our quarterback. And our quarterback already looks good. But you know what? In Green Bay, we understand there's nothing more important than quarterbacks. So we do nothing but make sure that our quarterback is primo. And there's never too much help that we can give to making sure our quarterback is great. You go out and hire a defensive coordinator, fire your offensive coordinator, and then what? You go get a quarterback and shrug? I mean, you guys hired an offensive coordinator. It's one of my favorite things ever. First of all, he's a tight ends and wide receivers guy, so he's not a quarterback guy. Second of all, he was last in Seattle, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think it was asked about Shane Waldron. And it was the greatest response ever. What do you think about Shane Waldron? And he just sat there and he goes, this is live? I mean, he's a really nice guy. You guys are so stupid. You have a pass game coordinator by the name of Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown, his background is running backs. And your quarterback's coach was brought over by your offensive coordinator. He's been in Seattle his entire, at least professional career, which started in 2020. So, you know, 3 years. Aside from being a coordinator throughout his career, he's been a running backs coach and assistant wide receivers coach. And then assistant quarterbacks in 2022 and 2023, and now is just the quarterbacks coach. I don't know why you don't give a crap about quarterbacks. I really don't. But best of luck to you. Wish you all the best in your endeavors. Anyways, why don't we take a break, and we'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Ryan Poles. I was inquiring about whether or not you'd want Justin Fields.
Oh, geez.
Shot or no shot, Justin Fields will just end up getting released.
At this point in time, at 8:08, that is likely to be a shot. I'm just saying that the phrase, I'm going to try to do right by Justin Fields, that's getting more and more difficult.
I'm going to say no shot on that one. I don't think this is ideal, but sucking it up, getting through the summer, and waiting for some sort of an injury to happen somewhere, and then trade Justin Fields. This whole thing has become so much more complicated than I thought it was going to be. Do you think at some point, guys, you're just going to have to suck it up and say, we'll take the fifth round pick?
Hey, Baltimore, this is Ryan Poles. I was inquiring about whether or not you'd want Justin Fields. Oh, geez. Hey, Washington Commanders. Hi, this is Ryan. Philadelphia Eagles, this is Ryan. Damn it. Yo, Matt Nagy, it's Ryan Poles. Hey, listen, I was wondering if you... Hello, this is Ryan Poles, Canadian Football League. I was what?
Hey, send us 5 pounds of fresh walleye, eh?
And again, this just, and listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I knew that it was going to be a sixth round pick. When I heard it was a third, I just kind of shrugged and said, okay, a third. I thought it was possible he could end up starting somewhere because you do have guys like Darnold starting somewhere. Although I knew it was not going to be ideal. It was sort of a worst case scenario. Maybe one of these teams, which again, I think Poles dropped the ball. One of these teams, like for example, Minnesota, might want to take a swing, you know, where it's worst case scenario, he's our starter, but we're going to try to draft somebody kind of a deal. I know they wouldn't trade him to Minnesota, but you know, the point is those type of teams. But still, it just feels so sweet to see them just be like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand. How is this happening? And they're even going to the point of saying, is he just going to get released? By the way, can I just say this? I said what I said yesterday, whatever day it was. I said what I said about how terribly everything has been handled, right? He's not good. He doesn't have a market, et cetera, et cetera. And then Ian Rappaport came out and said, well, it's because they want to talk to Caleb and they want to do their homework first. And I said, bull crap, bull crap, bull crap. That is running interference for the team, and that's running interference for Justin Fields via his agent. You're pretending that they're just putting this on hold and that there really is a market. We just, you know, you just haven't seen it yet because we're not even trying yet. And I said, that's BS. Let me ask you a question. Have they met with the quarterbacks yet? Did they meet with him on a Saturday? I thought they were meeting with him on like Monday or something. So why would you trade Justin Fields now? It's after the market died, but before you met with Caleb. And it's for a piece of crap price. So I don't understand. That doesn't seem to fit the narrative that, oh, no, he's got a market. It's just that we're not trying yet because we haven't met with the quarterbacks yet, which never made sense to begin with. But let's pretend it did. Why did you trade him before you met with the... I don't understand. So you're saying you lied. Is that what you're saying? That was bull crap? Is that... I think that's the right answer, right? I think so. What's the saying? You never BS a BSer? Bro, don't even try it with me, okay? Do not try it. That never made any sense whatsoever. Ian Rappaport obviously has inside sources, but you got to remember, his inside sources are coaches, teams, agents, and they're going to tell him to report things that they want him to report. So Ian has inside sources, that's true. Does Ian have good information is a different question. And here's the funny part about it too. If you think about it, why did Ian Rappaport report that? I think we generally assume, you know, Ian's like, what's going on here? So he reaches out and then he calls the head coach directly or the GM, Ryan Poles, and Poles is like, oh, yeah, like this is the read, like you had it wrong all along. No, that's not what happened. They reached out to Ian. Why? Damage control. There's two big headlines here that are just flashing, blinking lights. Number one, Ryan Poles screwed up royally. Number two, Justin Fields ain't worth crap. The Bears got to get out in front of both of those things. And again, his agent probably not super excited about that either. So that brings me to my next point, but I want to play this first just to really hammer home this point. This is Mr. Schefter.
Never happened. They went and signed Kirk Cousins. He was connected to Pittsburgh. They land Russell Wilson. He was connected to Las Vegas. They went with Gardner Minshew. So all the places that have come up in connection to Justin Fields have looked to other places. What's amazing to me about this is that Justin Fields is due to make $2.7 million this upcoming season. So there are teams out there that would rather pay all these other quarterbacks than Justin Fields. And so now he's sitting there, and it doesn't look like there's a starting job out there at this particular moment. And so the teams that are looking at him would be looking at him as a backup. And would Chicago then get the value that it wants? And what does Chicago do about that? This right now is an ongoing situation. It reminds me a little bit, in a certain way, of Lamar Jackson last year. Lamar becomes a free agent.
Yeah, nothing like that whatsoever, but I appreciate your attempt at analysis there, Schefter. This is just like Lamar. No, Lamar wanted to get paid superstar money. He wasn't getting traded as a backup. Oh, and here is Schefter, which, again, sort of the shock of how little value the league had in Justin Fields, which, again, as much as I feel vindicated that the market reflected my opinion, I didn't think it would. You know, when I started hearing third-round picks, it's like, well, I was hoping for worse, but that does suck. It's certainly not starter stuff. Here is Florio.
Now they got Justin Fields for a conditional 2025 sixth-round pick. That is nothing. That's the kind of thing that pretty much any other team in the league should have wanted to match or beat. Where are the Broncos? Where are the Raiders? Where are the Vikings? Not that the Bears would have wanted to trade him within the division. But in the same week, the Steelers got Russell Wilson for $1.21 million. A guy who has won a Super Bowl, went back to another, and could have won another if they would have called a run instead of a pass in a key moment, was a consensus choice to head to the Hall of Fame before his last 2 years in Denver. They get him for $1.21 million. And they get Justin Fields for a 2025 sixth-round pick. He's got a base salary plus bonuses in the range of, I think, $5 million or so this year as a first-round pick in 2021. It's nothing. It's peanuts.
So I think he asked a good question, right? He said anybody should have matched that. Why didn't anybody match that or offer more than that? Well, the answer is pretty obvious. Nobody wanted. Where's Denver? They didn't want him. Even for that price. Can you imagine being Ryan Poles? Everybody's looking to you to get a haul, and nobody's even taking your calls. You're talking about, you know, I'm looking for, you know, like a first-round pick. You know, you're trying to come in high. Probably think you're going to settle for a second-round pick. Maybe you get that deal, you know, the second, the fourth, and the sixth or something. But you try to come in high, and people are like, bro, come on now. No, don't lose my number, bro, for real. Can you imagine the horror that set in when he realized how devastatingly awful this was about to be? Anyways, it's getting late. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. I have my thought, another thought for you, but I'm waiting because I want to build up with some of these clips. We got CHGO, kind of a live reaction thing, some other stuff, and then I'll give you my final thought on this. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, my reaction is even though we knew this market was not as good as the Bears wanted it to be when they were in Indianapolis at the Combine, when we were in Indianapolis at the Combine, this is still somewhat stunning that they're not even getting a 2024 draft pick out of this. I mean, forget the round. They're not even getting a draft pick this year for Justin Fields. Six-round pick that conditionally could move to a fourth based on probably playing time. I didn't see the full tweet from Schefter on that one. I know it was out there, but that's my first reaction. And, you know, it's not any type of celebration that Justin Fields is gone. This trade barely helps the Bears in the future, quite frankly. But it is what, quite frankly, we've been trying to tell you for weeks that, you know, and this isn't going to be any type of victory lap on this. This is just the reality of a situation that's not good for the Bears. So no one takes any elation in trying to say we were right or anything. Honestly, I think the market's wrong. I think Justin Fields, as I've been saying for months now, is a starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he should be backing up Russell Wilson. In fact, I'll make the bold prediction right now that he will start games over Russell Wilson at some point this season. But unfortunately, this is how this market's played out. The NFL has told you now for basically all week since free agency opened, and these trades started to go down, how they feel about Justin Fields. We don't feel the same way. But the other side of this now that just has to be admitted, however you feel about it, this is how the Bears felt about him too. It's the unfortunate reality of the situation.
Right.
They moved him for a six-round pick next year. That best-case scenario turns into a fourth. They're moving on. This is an unbelievable, anticlimactic, quite frankly, disappointing ending to a promising Bears quarterback that honestly was way better than what the Bears are getting back in return for him.
Well, okay, that's an assertion. But again, you've got a big hill to climb here to say that all 32 teams are wrong, because you can say, well, it's not 32 teams. Some teams wouldn't take a bull crap. The Packers would absolutely pay if they thought he could be some kind of a superstar. That price? Bro, forget 20, 5, 6. I'll give you a 7th right now. I'll give you a 6th this year. 6th round pick. For a guy that is a legit starter, if you could just put some coaches in front of him. You think the Packers wouldn't do that? They'd do it in a heartbeat. So would the Chiefs. So would any other team. It doesn't matter how many quarterbacks they have. They would absolutely do it, and nobody did, including the Bears, who desperately need a quarterback. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't keep him. So, again, you have a big hill to climb here to say the market is wrong. Right? I mean, I understand. I think the problem is, we're coming from such depth. We're coming from a place of, or they in particular, are coming from a place of Fields is really good. And then it came down to, okay, maybe we need to move on. But he's still good and we should still get something from him. Then they find out there isn't much of a market. It's not like they came to that conclusion. They found out. Like you said, when we went to Indianapolis, we found out there's no market. So they're coming from a place of believing that he's really good, not understanding that the rest of the NFL has been watching and saying, this guy is such garbage. And listen, I gloat about this partially because I'm right and partially because it's fun to make fun of the Bears, but understand, this is not a positive if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, and this is why some Packers fans will fight with me about it, because they don't want to believe Fields is the bad guy, just like Bears fans don't, but you should if you're a Bears fan. Because there's two options here. Either Fields is good and Bears just ruin quarterbacks, which means you're screwed and will never have a good football team ever. Or Fields was the problem, you get him out, and if you can just find a good quarterback, you're going to be okay. That's why Packer fans fight with me. They don't want to believe that it could actually happen, that they could draft a superstar quarterback. And I'm sorry to tell you, that can happen. And it might happen. But at some point, you just got to admit defeat. You got to stop saying stuff like, well, the market is wrong and he's so much better and I think he's going to start. And it's like, come on, man. But all right, I think I have some more bad news for Bears fans. This will be my final thought here. Because something happened not too long ago that I didn't fully understand. And you know, listen, you could argue it's a good decision or whatever, but you know, you just look at it and go, why would somebody do that? And it's something that I've been saying for a long time, and I just keep forgetting. So if I repeat myself, it's not because you haven't heard it and need to know because you forgot. It's because I forgot. But the Chicago Bears and Ryan Poles made the decision to go out and get Keenan Allen. And there's been some discussions about it, mostly revolving around two things. Number one, now that they have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, does that mean at 9 they're not going wide receiver and they're going to get offensive line? I think that's a fair question. The other conversation is just about how electric this offense is going to be now that you have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and presumably a young stud quarterback. And maybe that'll happen. That could certainly be. It's very possible this is the best wide receiver duo in football. But I'm just curious the reasoning behind getting a 32-year-old wide receiver that's going to, you know, have a $23 million cap hit. It's a one-year deal. I'm curious why you would make that kind of a decision, because you're not really, I mean, maybe you think you're ready for a Super Bowl run if he comes in, the quarterback, and plays really, really well, kind of like C.J. Stroud did, and if we can get the defense going, maybe you think you're actually going to win a Super Bowl, but it just seems to be an odd time to be all in when you don't even have the quarterback situation figured out. You've never even had the quarterback. You haven't met the quarterbacks yet. You haven't sat down and talked to them to find out which one you're even drafting. You haven't had them in the building throwing around the football to see what needs to be tweaked and how good of a football player they are. And you go all in with a one-year deal for Keenan Allen that's going to cost you $23 million. Why would you do that? And then I remembered the thing that I've said numerous times. The GM's primary job is not to build the best team. It's not to win Super Bowls. It's to keep your job. And the bottom line is the Bears have been a very bad team since Ryan Poles got here. And things have not panned out. He certainly would not be at anyone's top list as far as drafting ability. I think a lot of the free agents that came over, I mean, DJ Moore's fine. He wasn't a free agent. It was in a trade, but I mean, that panned out. But a lot of the other free agents that have come over have not panned out. You got a guard that you brought in. He refused to even show up to Chicago the entire time. And then he gets there and he's bad at football. You brought in Lucas Patrick from the Green Bay Packers. That was a terrible decision. You brought in Equanimeous St. Brown and Mercedes Lewis and Robert Tonyan. Pretty much every Packer that leaves, you wouldn't scrape him up. None of them panned out. He drafted a right tackle that didn't super have a great rookie season. I'm trying to think of your best draft pick right now, and I'm struggling. I'm sure you've got a couple good ones. Nothing's coming to mind. And then you go to the combine, right? And you realize you have a quarterback that you can't move and nobody wants him. So you're already kind of on the hot seat and things are not going well. And you probably realize that the owners are going to give you one crack at this. And if you get a quarterback and this thing falls apart spectacularly, you will be gone in 5 seconds because they are not going to allow another quarterback to be ruined. Now, granted, if they were smart, you would start over all the way through. There would be a new head coach, a new GM, and then a quarterback. But of course, you, whatever, it doesn't matter. So Ryan Poles is, his seat's getting a little hot, but it's like, okay, you got this new thing. So now we assume you're going to draft a quarterback. Everything's going to be great. If it's not, you could be fired. So what is he doing? He's making sure this year looks really good. Now, really good doesn't have to mean Super Bowl, but really good can mean competitive. 7, 8, 9 wins, sniffing the playoffs, competitive in the NFC North, solid quarterback production. He just needs something to get him to next year. Now, Keenan Allen might not even be here the year after that, but maybe he can finagle himself a new contract, and so it won't really matter all that much. That'll buy him some time. It'll buy him a couple years. So this right here, this Keenan Allen move, is not in the best interest of the Chicago Bears. This is in the best interest of Ryan Poles trying to keep his job. And interestingly enough, if you look at a lot of the guys that went to Chicago, they're not super young, right? There's Swift and two other guys that are not going to start that are relatively young. Then you have Jake Martin, who's 28. Coleman Shelton is going to be 29. Jonathan Owens is going to be 29. Matt Pryor is 29. You have Gerald Everett, who is 30. You have and then Kevin Byard, who is going to be 31 years old. He's not thinking long term. He's not finding 26-year-olds. He's just trying to find little patch jobs to make things work in the short term. Long-term sustained success is very far from his mind right now. He realizes that this team has been in the gutter since he got there, and if he drafts a quarterback and this doesn't pan out this year, he's going to get fired, and that's all he's thinking about. So he will hire every 30-year-old that's available if he thinks he can set a floor and make this team semi-competitive. Even if he has to cut them all the year after that, it doesn't matter. He's trying to survive one more year. Anyways, you guys suck. I'm going to be done. You guys have a good rest of your night. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.